is Amanda Rucker, and you're listening to Cirrhosis, my podcast where I interview badass women who have advice to give. Welcome to the middle of February. It is really freaking cold out. I think 100% of my conversations with other people circle directly around the fact that everyone hates the weather right now. So it's just been a real treat of a 2019, right? I hope wherever you're listening to this, you are snuggled under a blanket or maybe on a beach, like a warm beach. That would be really great. But speaking of warm places, I am super excited that in a couple weeks I am going to be going down to Austin and speaking at South by Southwest EDU. I submitted my talk a couple of months ago to their panel picker idea and I was selected. So I'm just really excited to have put myself out there and got selected, and now we're going down to Austin. So we'll be there for about a week. If you guys have any suggestions of places to go or eat, we have a really quick weekend right before the conference starts that my husband and I are going to be flying in for, and probably I want to stay outside the city, but I'm not sure how feasible that is. We fly in at like 8 p.m. on Saturday, so we only have Sunday to really enjoy getting out of the city. So trying to decide what to do there. But, you know, the first time I went to Austin, I was not, like, I was like, whatever, I can take this city or leave it. But we've been back a couple of times, and it's been growing and growing and growing on me. So I am pretty excited to get out of Omaha, get out of this negative 20 degree weather, and have some sun on my skin. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. If there's anyone down in Austin I should interview for my podcast, please let me know. I have a couple of friends down there, but I'm always looking for new people to talk to that I haven't met before. So yeah, let me know if you have any good connections. Well, I hope you enjoy this week's episode. I interviewed Maria Corpus. She is the host of a really cool late night talk show here in Omaha called Nightcaps. You have to check it out if you're in the area. She brings together a lot of community members, all ages, a very great diverse group of humans, and talks about a wide variety of subjects. Each talk always ends with a musical guest, and they have been, I think it's just so cool something like that is going on in Omaha. She also is a social media influencer for sexual health, which I think is a really cool thing that's happening too. So I had a really great interview with her. Actually met her at Nightcaps. I went to one by myself because I really wanted to check them out. Had a little too much wine, to be honest, and went up to her after the show and told her I wanted to interview her. So it's been a couple of months trying to arrange both of our schedules to meet up, but we had a really nice afternoon just a couple weeks ago where she came over and we had lunch and I got a chat with her. So I hope you enjoy. All right, well, thank you for being on my podcast, Maria.
Of course.
So why don't you just tell us a little bit about who you are and kind of, I know we're going to talk about Nightcaps, so a little bit about that and just anything you want people to know about you.
Okay, yeah. My name's Maria Corpus. I currently wear a couple different hats. I am the host of a late night talk show at Outer Spaces called Nightcaps. I also worked for Get Checked Omaha as a social media influencer, teaching people about safe sex, and I also just started a new full-time job at this place called Soul and Swag, which does promotional products for brands by telling their story.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is Outer Spaces? Let's start with that.
Yeah. So Outer Spaces actually started in an old car wash. With the idea that all, I don't know the percentage, but a pretty high percentage of artists all generally live below the poverty line. Okay. And so the goal of Outer Spaces is to pay artists and also provide a safe space for them to create, to present to the community, and also foster community building. And so Phil Colbo is the executive director there, and I had been kind of playing with this idea of late night talk show, like, why don't we have one in Omaha? And I'm like obsessed with Samantha Bee.
Oh yeah.
And so I always like watch her and Trevor Noah and John Oliver, and I'm like, ah, damn, they're like so funny, and these comedians are doing this investigative journalism work, and journalists on like CNN and Fox are just like bullshitting us. And so like just kind of playing with the idea of, well, Omaha, like, what is Omaha News and what is Omaha News presenting? And how do we kind of make that into a modern twist for millennials to pay attention to? Was the idea for Nightcaps.
Yeah.
Sorry, I totally forgot what you were talking about, Outer Spaces.
No, I
kind of shifted.
No. the point is Nightcaps, but
yeah.
I just wanted to give some context about
but,
Outer Spaces.
Yeah, so Outer Spaces lets artists come, and it's kind of like a 24/7 fitness where you pay a monthly fee and then you get access to the space 24/7. So there's, I mean, the TBD Collective Dance Club has dance club there every month. There's a Tai Chi class. There's band practices. There's a few baby grand pianos. So if you just play piano, you can go in and practice if you don't have access to one elsewhere. And then you also have the opportunity to host events, which is awesome. So when you do host events, you just kind of work with Phil to get a date scheduled in, and then at the door, it's always a suggested donation of whatever set amount, which makes it accessible to people who can't afford to come at the time, while also leading, giving room to the suggested donation so that the artists who host the event can collect what's at the door.
Yeah, I love that. So how did you, you had this rad idea. How did you get connected, and why did you think that was the best platform?
So I was at the time working on a project called Noise, which is a newspaper out of North Omaha, and we would meet basically every day at Mug Life, where Phil was working at the time.
Okay.
And I just kind of was talking to people whose opinions I valued and asking what their interest would be in it. And Phil, so I pitched it to Phil while he was being a barista and was like, what do you think about like a late night talk show in Omaha? And then there's always a performance aspect, and I want millennials to vote or like get them involved in some, have some sort of stake in politics so that they want to vote. And having it here in Omaha. And he's like, that's really great. Like, you should do that. And I was like, well, I was thinking more that somebody else should take my idea and host it. Like, I don't know if I'm the right person for that. But he was like, Maria, you're like a woman of color. Like, we don't need, I don't want to do it. I'm a white man. Like, we don't need any more white men hosting things.
Fair.
And so that like really stuck to me. I'm like, I guess nobody else would really be able to execute my idea as well as I want them to besides me. So I kind of had to build up that confidence to be like, yes, I can do this. I am capable. I have learned enough things so far, I think, to create this program, and it's going well so far.
Yeah, so how have you, well, I'll tell you as like somebody who's attended, I have been so amazed at, first of all, the quality of guests that you get on there. You do such a great job at inviting a diverse range of human beings that also diverse in like where they are in life. So like, you know, you have senators to professors to just community members, and I love that well-rounded voice from Omaha. And
thank
like
you.
Yeah, and like, so how have you seen it grow? Like, where do you want to take it, maybe? What do you think have been positive lessons that you had?
So that, I'm glad you pointed that out, because that was one of like my main goals of it. Because you go to, you know, if you go to panels, even if you hear about, you may not even hear about panels from like UNO or Creighton, they're kind of like, you know, stale, ugly lighting. You have to sit in like a desk, and it feels just kind of gross. So I wanted to create a space that was like comfortable, like a living room, so people could feel comfortable, but at the same time getting those different perspectives of people. So I wanted to consistently have a performing artist. I love music. I have a huge passion for music. I've traveled with bands. And so I wanted to make sure I had that piece, and I wanted to make sure that not only were they performing and getting paid, but that they were part of the the conversation. Because so often we don't get to hear from like our favorite bands about stuff. And I know some bands like, oh, we don't want to talk about politics 'cause we want everybody to like us and whatever, but you don't have to talk about politics. Like, we can just talk about things that everybody affects everybody, and hear from them. And then I wanted to also make access to politicians easier, while bringing in just experts, like you said, around the community, whether it be somebody from like the Tri-Faith Initiative, or to the Culture House in North Omaha, making sure that whatever topic we're talking about, there's knowledgeable people, but from, like you said, different walks of life, different sectors of business. So yeah, that's been really awesome, getting to kind of try to curate curate panels of people.
I asked like multi-layer questions.
I'm like,
that doesn't go well.
It's okay.
What have been like some of the most like your positive learning experiences through this? How long have you been doing it?
Since May of last year.
Okay, so we're approaching a year.
Yeah.
What are some good lessons learned that you've got?
Some good lessons learned is sometimes like you plan, like the first one I planned out basically like almost a whole script and was like, okay, let me just read through this 20,000 times and then like hope I get to all my points and whatever. And then it was about 10 minutes before the first show and I was just kind of like, screw this. I'm just gonna like make sure I have my questions that I want to ask and be more of like a listener. And then if I have questions from listening and comments from listening, that works, because this show, Nightcaps, isn't about me. That's why that was one of the other conversations I had with Phil, was like, well, I don't know if I want it to say Nightcaps with Maria Corpus, because I don't want this to be about me. I feel vain saying it like that. And he was just like, well, you know, it's Nightcaps is what's important. And whoever the host is great. But it's about the community that we're bringing in and Nightcaps. And so that's kind of been a hard thing, too, is stepping into that role of host and being like, this is my show and like I get to do this. So it's an interesting kind of dance to be the host, but also make sure that you're really just listening. I listened to an Oprah podcast too, and like one of her like successful things was that she's like, I really am just a listener. And because if when you come into spaces being prepared with all these things to say and questions, my brain's more worried about like, okay, I gotta get to my next point while I'm not like actually listening to the guests. And so I started to just kind of listen to podcasts, do my research on topics beforehand, make sure that I was knowledgeable so that when we were in conversation with each other, I would have some knowledge of what we were saying and then I could respond, but not so planned ABCDE kind of thing.
I think that's great lessons just for normal human conversation. Like, you're not there to make points, you're there to listen.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that was one of the reasons that I started Nightcaps, because like I wanted tools in my toolbox, like conversation tools, to talk to my family members who I don't agree with a lot without getting so angry and mad, because I just do that. I'm like, why don't you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Like, so it's definitely helped me like learn how to have conversations like civilly, that's right.
Yeah, civil.
Being civil about the conversations I'm having, we'll go with that. Yeah. Also, hold on, I had another point there. Where was I going?
Learning how to communicate better.
Yeah, and just like educate like myself was kind of the other thing. I was like, oh, I kind of miss like going to classes, but I don't really miss classes. I kind of just miss the learning part of it.
Yeah.
And learning things that you may not get from classes. Mm-hmm. Learning things from other people's experiences. And how do you do that? You listen. So listening is a big part, and I just needed at that point in my life to also work on it. I'm consistently working on listening and not thinking about what I'm going to say next. Because otherwise it's just like an automated response, like, oh yeah, that's really awesome. Okay, next question. Like, it's not, in depth.
Yeah, and you're not, like, being in that present moment.
Exactly.
You're actually paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's one of the things I'm definitely working on, is just being in the present, and nightcaps has really helped me with that, because I have to,
mm-hmm.
In order for it to not look like I'm just spitting out questions at people.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's, I think in this world of, like, being incredibly reliable, relying on, like, social media, my last guest, Emily, and I talked a lot about, relying on the social media platforms to help, like, to be basically where you're putting out your word,
mm-hmm.
And the struggles with that, and it's helped launch a lot of other conversations of people who've listened to that, like, yeah, I'm struggling with the same thing, and I realized that, like, whatever you want to put out in the world shouldn't live on somebody else's platform, that you have to create, like, your own space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see you really doing with Nightcaps. Like, you created an actual physical space, which is really interesting in this world that we all rely on, like, internet to get our word out there. But are you guys... I feel like you've recorded some stuff, right? And put it on YouTube, maybe?
There's one that's on YouTube, but so that was kind of the other thing too, is because I was seeing, like, especially in 2016 when Trump got elected, people just eating each other on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
or like being so cruel behind a screen. And so it's like, okay, you guys all have these feelings about politics and social justice issues, but who are you talking to in person about them? You can't just type, enter, send, shut my notebook, go away. Like, you didn't learn anything. You just spit out what you believe. You didn't have an actual, like, intimate conversation with somebody about whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I thought Nightcaps would be a good platform to use to create a space where people can come together and listen and can talk and meet other people who come from different walks of life and hear what they're saying about the same topic. You can't get angry at somebody in a space. Well, you could, but,
mm-hmm.
like, that's not polite.
Yeah.
And you're,
yeah.
you know. Okay, that kind of answered a different question. Repeat this, sorry.
No, well, I was wondering if you were, I mean, I think that's a really good point, though. Like, before you start, mm-hmm. like, your purpose is to help people bring, like, have a more civil conversation about, and that's not
mm-hmm.
happening online.
Mm-hmm.
I think my original question was, are you going to expand to anything?
Yes.
But...
So the goal is this, these next few months is to really fundraise and get
mm-hmm.
some more grants, since Outer Spaces is a nonprofit, which is awesome. Funds are really limited.
Mm-hmm.
And when the goal is to pay artists, we don't want to, you know, just ask. I mean, I have tons of photography, videography friends, but I can't just be like, hey, can you record this hour and a half presentation and do the post edit? Because
yeah.
that takes hours of work and I want to pay you, but I currently just don't have the funds to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, we, of all the episodes that have been done so far, we have at least one wide shot angle. For a few of them, there may be like two or three camera angles. We just have to put them together. We're waiting on one of my friends who volunteered to do it,
mm-hmm.
but since, you know, they volunteer, I don't want to, like, be like, hey, where's that video that you said you're
yeah.
gonna get to me for free?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Phil and I are gonna meet in the next few weeks here to kind of script out maybe some sponsorship deck levels, just to pay for the production of it.
Yeah,
because we want to have it, you know, like tiny desk concerts, and all the big cities have bands who stop in, like, come play a radio set, and we're going to record you and videotape you, and then that'll be online.
Mm-hmm.
And people love to see acoustic stripped down sets. And so our goal is to eventually get on the map with those, but also provide the community aspect as well, and the learning aspect, where it's not just a music session,
mm-hmm.
it's a learning session.
I like that. Well, and also, I think, like, when you're helping educate or bring people together, like, the community also has to show up for that and be a part of it,
mm-hmm.
and have a little skin in the game. And I think I love your mission of being able to provide that for people who might not have the extra $10 to come and
mm-hmm.
see, but, like, that means other people need to step in and help support that as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, I hated that when you're younger, you know, like, in school, having to, like, fundraise. Yeah. I always feel so bad asking people for money. Like, but now I am, since I'm more confident in this project and it's not just like, well, Girl Scout cookies are freaking awesome. But like, you know, like magazine sales or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, I actually believe in the product that I'm like trying to get sponsored. And I believe that it is building the community mm-hmm. just from the feedback I get. Like, yeah. I mean, I feel like every month, there's a point where I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, nobody cares. This is horrible. Like, I just get so down on myself. And then somebody somewhere I'll see out in public and they're just like, oh, I've been wanting to come to Nightcaps. Or, hey, I came to the last Nightcaps and I learned so much. And then my brother, he's a senior in high school. After this last one, he brought three of his friends.
Oh, cool.
And one of my guests, Kaylin, recommended that we have a gratitude journal or a gratitude partner, so that we hold each other accountable for being grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother sent me a screenshot of one of his friends had sent him a text being like, you're my new gratitude partner afterwards. And so just little things like that, and seeing my family comes to every single one, and just the fact that they're invested and like they want to support me, but they also love learning mm-hmm. about the things that like I also love learning about. So that's super special to me.
I think that's amazing. I'm not going to speak for your brother's like educational history, but I don't think young men in particular are taught that like gratitude and mental health and all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so absolutely.
They took that away. It's like fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Especially like, cause he goes to an all boys school. Okay. And so it's just like, yeah, it's interesting the conversations we have about like toxic masculinity. Like I'm mm-hmm. making sure that I'm having these conversations with them
mm-hmm.
about things like that. So they're aware, because otherwise, you're right, they don't learn about it.
Not something you're talking about. Okay, so we only have a couple more minutes, but I did want to get to your Get Checked stuff. So first of all, I caught that you called yourself like a sexual health influencer.
Yeah, social
right?
media influencer
yeah,
for sex health.
Yeah, and I, like, when I think of influencer, I think of some blonde girl with giant sunglasses, you know, like pushing products. But you're right. Like, I love that you're using that word influencer for a much bigger things.
Yeah, that's what they called it. So I guess I makes me one then, since I applied for the position and got it. It's really awesome. I think it's great that Get Checked Omaha has decided to invest in this kind of things. So Omaha sucks at wanting to pay, like they want interns for social media.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, and I've done it. I've been like, sure, I'll volunteer, I'll run your social media. And then I have like 3-4 accounts I'm doing for free, and that's a full-time job
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden. And so I'm really glad that the Women's Fund of Omaha and Get Checked Omaha has decided to really invest in social media influencing.
Yeah.
Just in, they have 2 on Instagram and 2 on Twitter, and just in like the few months I've been doing it, I've had people come up to me and be like, hey, where do I go to like get STD testing? Like, I'm seeing this new guy and I just want to make sure.
Oh, wow.
And like my own family members have like asked questions about it. And so it's interesting to see people, like I do the true falses on there.
Oh, yeah.
And see people, people answer, and then they will message me and be like, I can't believe I got this wrong. Like, what the heck?
Yeah. It's a good game.
And I think it just seeing it so often, it just is in the backs of people's minds. And since Omaha is like the top, like I think it's gonorrhea and one other one, that, like we're the top city for it. So it's like, dang, we really need to somehow be proactive about safe sex in Omaha.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always think of with safe sex in Omaha, like we keep getting on all these like advertising, like grossest ad for like STD awareness, and I'm like, I don't really think that's helping a lot. It's just we're just getting on all these ad lists.
And I think it's a bigger picture of, it's not just being like STDs are gross, you don't want to get one. It's like sex is something that's, we need to normalize talking about sex, and then we need to talk about what that entails in a way that's not demeaning towards anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up thinking that like I'm gonna go to hell if I have sex before I'm married, and I'm, you know, my tape is less sticky depending mm-hmm. like who I have sex with or whatever. Mm-hmm. in just like making me feel less because I express my sexuality. And
yeah.
So it's a whole bigger picture than just being STD free and being proactive about birth control. It's just making it a safe space to talk about sex and consent. And mm-hmm. it's really awesome because I was like, well, you know, there's only so much I can post about STD and pregnancy prevention. And then they're letting me kind of get more into just the entire sex health ed. And
yeah.
so it's kind of nice that they've let me kind of create my own posts about consent and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you mentioned this before we started recording, but like, you know, you are very tight with your family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you approach, like, hey, I'm going to start posting this stuff, even though I know it's going to wake my mom out?
I didn't tell her.
Yeah. She just logged on one day.
She doesn't really use Instagram, so I just thought, like, okay, nobody, like, it's going to be fine. She won't see it. And then I get the call, and somebody who follows me told her.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
she's like... Whether or not this is true, I don't know. She's just like, I was just leaving an abstinence luncheon. I'm like, what the hell is an abstinence luncheon? And somebody mentioned that you were, you know, promoting safe sex, and I'm out here promoting abstinence. And it was a heavy conversation that we had to have with each other and be very honest. It was hard. Like, I ended up crying and... But that was a few months ago, and now I was able to just, like, call her up and be like, hey, Mom, guess what? Michael got the true or false wrong. Michael's my brother. He got the true or false wrong, and guess what? I'm educating your son about safe sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so now she's like, well, thanks for doing my job, you know? Like, she's kind of, like, she's kind of regretful about it, but she also, I'm the oldest, so she's learning how to let me have my own voice
mm-hmm.
And respecting that. And... So it's a healthy relationship. We, even though we disagree on things like abstinence versus safe sex, we still respect each other's decisions and like realize that we're adults and we have our own belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
That part was really hard because it's like, I love my mom so much, but it's just like one thing.
That would be, I think we need a lot more of that in the world because... I know I struggle with, like, not everyone's going to believe the thing I believe because I think the thing I believe is so morally true and right.
Yes.
And it's just, that's just not how it's going to be. We all have autonomy. We all get to believe in what we want to believe, whether or not that's coming from a true place or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that abstinence versus, safe sexual health would be mm-hmm. a big divide, I think, if you couldn't just... respect each other.
Yeah, and I think it's important to just like what I've found is being like, okay, Mom, I know that you grew up in this time period, and I know you grew up in the suburbs of Kansas City and in a Polish Catholic family, and that's where you were grown up and raised, and so you have this set of beliefs. Well, I was also kind of grown up in the same situation, but like I'm also brown. And so she's, my mom's white and my dad is Filipino. And so just our realities of growing up have been different.
Yeah.
I've been a minority. And so in being a minority, I've kind of explored more liberal ideas. And just being like, hey Mom, like, I know you grew up in this place and mm-hmm. these are your beliefs, but just think about what it's like for me or think about what it's like for these people. Like we've had, this actually, nightcaps has probably been the best thing that's happened to my mom and I's relationship.
Oh, wow.
Because, like, we talked about identity, and mm-hmm. my mom was just like, I don't really get, like, what's transgender versus transsexual versus, like, pansexual. She just, like, she just thought it was, like, gay and straight.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual orientation versus whatever. And so we were able to have that conversation, which is awesome. Like, I was able to actually have this conversation with my mom without getting angry at her, without her getting angry at me, and her at the end being like, well, I still don't really get it, but at least I, like, know a little bit more now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Like, they're not going to change overnight. She's 50 plus. Like, mm-hmm. she's already very much set in her ways with the fact that she's able to be open about it when I know, like, some of my other family members will leave the room. When we start talking about it, I'm
mm-hmm.
just, like, very grateful that my mom has, like, come to terms with the fact that we're different and we're teaching each other things.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Interesting. Well, unfortunately, I think we gotta cut it off, but that's a great place to stop.
Yes, thank you for
so much
me.
For coming by, and everyone go to Nightcaps, and what's your Instagram handle?
It's Maria E. Corpus, C-O-R-P-U-Z, and then Nightcaps is N-I-T-E-C-A-P-S.
Yeah.
And it's every fourth Saturday at 8 p.m.
Cool. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I really hope you enjoyed our talk. I hope that you are inspired, that if you have a really cool idea that you want to see happen in your own community, that maybe you're the best person for the job to get it off the ground. That is definitely a little nugget of wisdom I got from Maria, and I've been really thinking about what I want to see happen in Omaha and how I can help make it happen. Until next time, I hope you all stay warm.